A very good Friday morning to everybody. Welcome here to 790 The Ticket. Greg Likens alongside Brian Monroe in for Zaz and Amber as we're getting you ready for a big weekend in the world of sports. Certainly in football, we got the Canes in action tomorrow, the Dolphins in action on Monday, or excuse me, on Sunday. We've got a new quarterback for the Dolphins. Brian, it feels like we just did this. Were we here? We got to get Brian's mic on here, Robbie. That would be probably a good thing.
I would love to talk with a little red button then, you know, light up just yet for
but,
me.
Yeah, you and I were here last night and got called in for today, so happy to be here. I think Zaz and Amber expect to be back on Monday, but we got Robbie with us right now. We got the MVP crew here with us to start the show. This is good, Robbie.
Yeah, I was so used to having Leroy's mic. He sits on the other side, so that's why I didn't have his mic on.
Yeah, that's a good excuse. We'll let you get away with that one.
Yeah, that's all right.
I haven't talked to him since I lost that bet. You know?
We were talking about that last night.
Do you got any other bets you want to put down?
I mean, I think the Canes are going to probably cover this Saturday, so I mean, I don't think that's something we would disagree on.
No, we wouldn't disagree on that one. We're good on that one.
Okay, so we got a lot to get into, Brian. Obviously, we want to preview the games coming up this weekend. We had a Thursday night game last night. There are some rumors involving the Dolphins and another potential trade. But I think everybody is buzzing about Josh Rosen getting his opportunity finally with the Miami Dolphins to start. And I say finally, it's only two games in the season. But I think there were a lot of people out there who were anticipating he would get an opportunity to start the season when the trade was consummated back on draft weekend earlier this year. But Josh Rosen, second-year quarterback, he is going to get his first start, according to multiple reports. I would anticipate that when Brian Flores addresses the media today, he will confirm that, and then it will be official. But by all accounts, we're going to see the Josh Rosen era get underway on Sunday. What that means, I feel like it's going to be a short-lived era, right? We're going to look back and say, hey, Josh Rosen was a starter for a little while. He's one of many on the list that followed Dan Marino before you found your actual quarterback of the future. Because, you know, it's crazy, Brian. We talked about this, and we have discussed this over the last few weeks. But the Miami Dolphins, for being such a bad team, continue to pop up in the national news. And so before I'm on my way in here this morning, I flip on ESPN, get ups on, and they spend the first portion of the first segment talking about Thursday Night Football, where Jalen Ramsey may go. And then the next topic is Josh Rosen. And Lewis Riddick is on there just destroying the Dolphins and saying they're setting this guy up for failure. And there's no way this is going to work. He feels terrible for him. And the Dolphins essentially should be ashamed of themselves for putting him in this type of situation. And he did admit that Rosen is not the type of talent that can transcend bad supporting cast. He can't lift everybody up, but he is a quality prospect that when given a decent supporting cast, you'd like to see what he can provide. But right now, he is not given anything close to that. And that's what we're looking at starting on Sunday.
Yeah, we talk about opportunities when it comes to the NFL. And so far, both the opportunities that he was given were set up for failure. Arizona playing with pretty much damn practice squad offensive linemen, and now he's playing with the Dolphins, who have, let's just say, guys that have never really played together before and gotten rid of everyone that was teammates in preseason. So the one unit that you want to play as one is the offensive line. And this week will be their third start together. So for Josh, I hope he's got his running shoes on, because you're playing aggressive, fast Cowboys defense. And, you know, I'm with those guys. It just sucks for Rosen, because you put him in a situation where he's not really set up for success, right? You know, his offensive line is bad. The weapons he has, they're good, but they're not great. And, he's going to be running for his life. So are we really going to be able to evaluate Josh Rosen moving forward when you play the Cowboys defense and then you have the Chargers defense coming in? So I don't think you're going to be able to evaluate him as a quarterback prospect. But, you know, hopefully he can make the best of it, because not only is he playing for the Dolphins, he's also playing for 31 other teams at the film that he's putting on for moving forward.
Right, and the real question becomes, because, I don't know, am I the only one? I feel like this is going to be a very short-lived tryout for him, and then they're going to draft their quarterback next year.
Oh, yeah.
And so Rosen may be around on the team in a backup role, but I've gotten the distinct idea that the Miami Dolphins, based on their activity, and especially in the last few weeks, they have not only given up on the season, but they've already given up on the idea that Josh Rosen has the potential to be their franchise quarterback.
And that's the weirdest thing from the whole since Josh Rosen got drafted. Okay, when he got picked up as a free agent, I was like, okay, this is great. He's cheap. You know, he's a top 10 quality talent. And then all of a sudden they got rid of everybody. And I'm like, so then why do you go after Rosen? If this was the plan all along, like you just wake up and be like, oh, you know what, we're going to sell all these people. You knew leading up to it that you were going to get rid of Laremy Tunsil, Kenny Stills, Kiko Alonso. You're just going to, you know, deplete the team. So why give up a second and a fifth if you're trying to collect assets for the future? Just ride out with Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's gonna be the most exciting way to lose games. Have Jake Rudyk as your backup, and then go draft your quarterback. To me, it made no sense if this was the plan all along to tank, to go ahead and give a second round pick for Josh Rosen if you're not going to give him a fair shot, because this is not a fair shot for him. I mean, the quality of players you'll have around him, the way that defense is, it's, you're setting him up for failure. So to me, that's the most peculiar move that they did.
Yeah, and you're right, because if the entire goal, and seemingly this is what we can draw from what has occurred, the entire goal was to stockpile as many draft picks as possible, then you might as well have just kept Ryan Fitzpatrick and Jake Rudyk on this team, let them quarterback, depending on who's healthy, who's available, and who you deem qualified on a weekly basis to be your quarterback, and keep your second round and fifth round pick for Josh Rosen, and then utilize that next year when you're trying to absolutely revamp the roster via the draft and via free agency. So it is very strange. At the same time, I'll say this. I'm excited to see what Josh Rosen can do in a starting capacity. I know that the expectations are deservedly low, not because of him, but because of the supporting cast that you've just detailed. But the bottom line is, like Ryan Fitzpatrick, we've known all along what he is and what he isn't. So we might as well see what Josh Rosen has and give him every shot possible to at least get as many reps this year to get the experience and to put that on film.
And even if you look at last game when they played the Patriots and he did throw dimes, they just go ahead and drop it, Jakeem Grant. And then when you go throw the dump off to Kalen Ballage, he's ducking out of the way and giving the ball to the other team. It's like, so I actually put a dime on you in the breadbasket. The throw he had to Jakeem Grant was perfect. Fumble it away. I just don't know what a running back's doing ducking. Like, why are you ducking from the ball? So, it's gonna be a long game. It's gonna be a long game.
Yes, and it's already been a long season just through two games. Right? Oh my goodness! You want to get involved in the show? You can via the Kendall Toyota West Kendall Toyota text line 67974. 67974 is how you reach us. Before we go any further, let's get to our 10 o'clock edition of headlines.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
We'll start on the gridiron with exactly what we were just discussing. The Josh Rosen era in Miami will officially begin on Sunday, as according to multiple reports, the Dolphins will start the second-year quarterback in the team's Week 3 matchup with the Cowboys. Ryan Fitzpatrick started the first two contests of the season, with the offense mustering just 10 total points. The Dolphins also announced that they've claimed defensive end Taco Charlton off of waivers from the Cowboys and waived offensive lineman Brian Witzman. Kickoff between Miami and Dallas is 1 o'clock on Sunday, and you can hear the game on 560 The Joe, WQAM. On Thursday Night Football, the Jaguars earned their first win of the season, taking down the Titans 20-7. Jacksonville's defense sacked Marcus Mariota 9 times, and rookie Gardner Minshew threw 2 touchdowns in the victory. From the pros to college, where the Miami Hurricanes host Central Michigan tomorrow, looking to improve to 2-2 on the year. You can hear the game on 560 The Joe, WQAM, with kickoff set for 4 o'clock at Hard Rock Stadium. Finally, on the diamond, the Marlins open up a weekend series against the visiting Nationals tonight. Miami's seeking to avoid its 100th loss this season by sending Robert Duggar to the mound. He'll be opposed by Anibal Sanchez. First pitch is 7:10 from Marlins Park. One other Marlins note, according to multiple reports, the team will be giving manager Don Mattingly a 2-year contract extension. An official announcement is expected today. Those are your headlines. For anybody who is just tuning in and didn't hear us right off the get-go, Zaz and Amber off today, so I would assume they'll be back on Monday. Greg Likens, Brian Monroe with you. Robbie is done with his duties for the day. Jennifer with us until we're done at 2 o'clock, and Hawk and Crowder will take over. We got a lot to get into, as we got a big weekend of college and NFL football to come. So, Rosen is going to be a big part of the conversation today. This really intrigued me last night. So, according to Armando Salguero of the Miami Herald, the Miami Dolphins have been contacted by the Jacksonville Jaguars to see what their interest is in Jalen Ramsey. And so Jalen Ramsey played last night and played well for the Jaguars, but according to him after the game, he doesn't feel like he'll be on the team in week four. So that would tell you that a trade is imminent, whether it happens before the Sunday games or it happens early next week. Brian, it looks like another cornerback will be on the move. We saw Micah Fitzpatrick traded this past Monday. Jalen Ramsey in a different situation where he is a proven all-pro player. He's looking for a new contract. The other part of this, though, is that he says he wants to win. Like, that's the biggest thing for him. Where I would argue, yes, he wants to win, but certainly he has shown everybody he wants to get paid.
Yeah.
The Dolphins have the cap space.
They do.
The Dolphins need talent. That the Dolphins also are in no position to win. So I don't know how this marriage would work. What's your reaction when you hear, again, the Dolphins should have conversations. They should have conversations whenever there's a possibility. There's nothing wrong with that. But I just don't know how serious these conversations may be with this particular player.
I think, like you said, they should listen to every free agent, every team that's looking to move some guys just to get a pulse of what's going on. But if you look at what they're trying to do, for me, you have to give up multiple first-round picks for Jalen Ramsey, right? If you can get a first-round pick for Minka Fitzpatrick, who's a safety, then to get a all-pro corner, he should be able to get multiple first-round picks or a one, a two, a four, and a five, something like that. It's going to be a lot. I just think with this team as a total, you got way too many holes. You got your shutdown corner, and you paid him, okay? You go ahead, and you can say, hey, maybe in free agency I can go get another corner, but maybe not the top guy that can actually be adequate on the opposite side of X, and we can go ahead and fill out this roster. Because if you look at this roster from top to bottom, you got a lot to work with, right? So let's say moving forward, what do you need in this team? I need a left tackle. I need probably a right tackle, even though they just paid Jesse Davis and he's playing it for the first time. Mm-hmm. I need a big-time receiver. I need two defensive ends. I need another corner. I mean, there's just so many holes on this team. I'm a Cane. I'm going to say it. I love Jalen Ramsey as a player. You know, who doesn't like a 6'4 corner that can do everything, right? But if that's his attitude when they're losing in the Jags, what's his attitude going to be here for the next couple years? Because, you know, this isn't going to be a quick fix. You know, everyone thinks like, oh, yeah, next year we're going to be great because we're going to have three first-round picks. Yeah, those three first-round picks are going to have to play right away, be all pros right away or Pro Bowl for this team to take that next step. So you're probably talking about another 2 years, 3 years for this team to actually be playoff contenders. And then it might help that Tom Brady will retire in 2 to 3 years. That'll help a lot.
Yes.
So I just don't know if that personality with Jalen Ramsey is going to work down here because they're not set up for success right now. I could see Jalen going to a team like the Chiefs, you know, the Cowboys, you know, teams that are actually competing and are going to win now. He can help them right away. But my question is, if you're the Jags, why give up a first-round pick for a contenders? For, you know, like if the Chiefs give you a first-round pick, you're talking about giving up a top four, top three corner in the league for a pick that's probably going to be in the 29, 30, 31, 32 range for the right next 2 to 3 years. It doesn't make sense to me. I'm looking for a Dolphins team that's probably going to be bad, and I want a top five pick. But in my opinion, I don't think the Dolphins, this is the right move to go after Jalen.
Well, and the other part of this, too, is how much money will you invest in one position, right? So you give Xavier Howard a 5-year, $76.5 million extension this offseason,
so
with $46 million guaranteed. It's got to be more than that.
Yep.
And then you have all of that money invested in the cornerback spot. I mean, that would be the best cornerback tandem in the league. So there's no denying that. But then this is the thought that came in my mind last night when I was reading about this as, you know, a possibility or something that the Dolphins are at least looking into is, can you imagine if you did pay Jalen Ramsey, you give up whatever you need to give up, you get Jalen Ramsey, signed with the extension, you got him and Howard on the outside, you know what would be perfect for the Miami Dolphins? To have a young, ascending player on a rookie deal, also in that secondary, they didn't have to pay too much money
That'd be nice.
Right? Oh, wait, you traded him away to make a Fitzpatrick to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Right? Like, then you could play him at safety, or, you know, however you want to utilize him. Anyway, that was the first part. The second part is, do you invest all that money in one position? And then Jalen Ramsey is a great player. We know this. But I also wonder, Brian, how great he will be when he doesn't have Calais Campbell
exactly.
and Josh Allen helping him rush up front like we saw last night.
And that's what I was going to say. You know, they work hand in hand, right? So a great pass rush helps a weaker secondary, and a strong secondary helps a weaker pass rush. So for me, if you have already paid X, you get another guy that's good. It doesn't have to be elite, but be good. But go invest in maybe one or two nasty pass rushers, because if you can get the quarterback off his, you know, spot, you'll cover up one side of your defense. Now, you could have two elite, you know, corners on each side and get nothing up front. Well, they're going to get exposed no matter what, because quarterbacks are just going to sit there for 6 seconds like, all right, triple move, double move. You can't hold out on it. And if you look up front what the Dolphins have right now, I mean, come on. It's like I said yesterday, bringing over Taco and having him with Charles Harris, it's like the meme from Spider-Man. They're both looking at each other, pointing at each other. It just – they got nothing up front. Their ends, they have nothing up front.
If we could fuse those two together, right, then maybe they would, you know, combined be a decent.
I was going to say, they'd still only be decent. I mean, that's talking about two guys in 2 years with 7 sacks. Like, are you kidding me? And now you're bringing in the guy that you thought wasn't as good as Charles Harris because you took Charles Harris first over Taco. Well, I tell you what, the only good thing is he's dirt cheap. He has a first-round talent. Hopefully a new home, you know, get him going, get him excited, and, you know, maybe he shows that potential he had coming out of Michigan. Maybe.
Maybe he's a late bloomer.
Maybe.
Who knows, right?
We hope, because we're still hoping for Charles Harris to be that late bloomer, right?
Correct.
I mean, I am. I gave up on him, so it's all good.
Yeah. It's not looking too good. But here's the other part about the Jalen Ramsey situation. And, again, I don't think – based on all the details and reasoning that you provided, I think you said it really well. So I don't think it's going to work out for the Dolphins in this sense in many different regards. But this is the type of trade I'm interested in as a media member, as a fan, as somebody who's watching this, is that, like, I understand everybody is intrigued by the idea of having all these picks and the possibilities that come with the picks and the possibility of controlling draft weekend and understanding we can maneuver here and go there. But you're also, when doing that, discussing the possibility of a bunch of potential. It's just ideas. It's guys that, yeah, we think they're going to turn into this. We don't know what they're actually going to formulate into players as an NFL entity. And so then at that point, Brian, you're just talking about the what-ifs. Jalen Ramsey is a for-sure thing. So those types of trades intrigue me. And, you know, we're talking about the Dolphins having all this money they can spend. You know, like, this is the type of scenario that the Dolphins, in theory, should take advantage of, because you got a proven talent, a guy that there's no doubt about how good he is. He's done it year after year in this league, and you know really confidently that you can invest money in him and know what you're going to get in return, whereas you invest money in another free agent that just hits free agency that his team doesn't want anymore, right? And they say, yeah, okay, yeah, we, like Mike Wallace's of the world, where he hits free agents, or Ndamukong Suh, where, yeah, like, we like the player, but they're going to get paid a lot more than they should. This is a scenario where it's like Jalen Ramsey deserves to be one of the highest paid players in the league at his position, and you got to give up some draft compensation, a bunch of what-ifs for a sure thing. I'm not saying Ramsey specifically is the guy you should go after, but this is the scenario that would intrigue me as a person following the Dolphins, that you get a guy that you know is going to help you out.
To me, it's just about what do you have to give up for him, though, right? Because I don't want the Dolphins to overpay, overreach for guys. You know, I know it's going to be tough to get free agents to come down to – you know, what's going on down here. Like, they're going to be like, hey, we got this and we got that. And you're like, yeah, but you guys are bad. Like, I don't want to go down there even though you got the money and the South Beach and everything else. But you guys suck. Like, I don't even know if I want to play for your team. But you look at the Ramsey situation. You're right, and I'm with you. That's the talent you want on this team. My thing is that this team's so bad with so many holes. Do you give up 3-4 draft picks plus – what's he going to be making? $22-23 million a year? Like, that's a big hit coming from that 160 that you're going to pay. You have to take away from that 160, but you still got to get pass rushers, tackles, receivers. You might even have to get some running backs the way these guys are playing right now. I don't know. Pageant Kenyon Drake, is he alive? Is he alive?
I don't know. It's a couple of coaching staffs now that don't seem to want to give him the football.
I hear all this from Zach Duarte and everybody else about how Kenyon Drake's the man we get the ball. And they're saying, well, we're going through multiple coaching staff for some reason haven't given him the ball. What's the reason? Does he not have it between the ears? I mean, what is he doing in practice that's not impressing them to put him on Sundays? Can they not trust the guy? That's the weirdest thing to me.
Right. Right now they trust Kalen Ballage. You can't hold him to the football.
And I don't even know how you trust him because, I don't know, did you watch the Patriots game? I watched the Patriots game with like a blurred vision, but I was there. I was watching it a little bit, you know? But it seemed to me like he came alley-oop in basketball to Jamie Collins on that one, but I don't know. Maybe my eyes deceived me on that one.
Yeah, I don't know if he's getting part of Jamie Collins' signing bonus or something, right?
Like my goodness.
We're going to find out after. They're going to do a 30 for 30 on it. We'll find out there was something else going on. But, yeah, that was fishy, to say the least. All right, Brian, we're just getting started. We got a lot to get into as a big weekend in football coming up. We're going to preview it all. Last night, we had the kickoff of week 3 of the NFL season. What did we learn in the Jaguars' victory over the Titans? We'll get to that next here on 790 The Ticket. The Ticket wants to help save dogs as we're sponsoring the second annual Raising for the Rescue's benefit concert. The big show is happening at Revolution Live on Saturday night from 6 to 11 p.m. There's an epidemic of homeless dogs throughout South Florida, and we're raising much-needed funding for 100-plus abandoned dogs of Everglades to continue their mission. So come out to the concert on Saturday night. Great music, food trucks, a silent auction, and more, and help save the dogs. That's the second annual Raising for the Rescue's benefit concert happening at Revolution Live on Saturday night at 6 o'clock. It's a Football Friday brought to you by Yuengling, a beer as bold as those who drink it. Tap into your inner eagle. Yuengling, spread your wings. Hoopsville, Pennsylvania, please drink responsibly. We're back here on 790, a very good Friday morning to everybody. Greg Likens, Brian Monroe in for Zaz and Amber, as I would imagine they'll be back on Monday. Jennifer with us as well, as we're taking up until 2 o'clock. And Brian, we're just catching up on everything here. We've got a big weekend ahead. We will have our normal guest on the Zaz and Amber show. Nick Costas will join us at around 11:20. Of course, Radio.com sports betting insider. So for all those who are anxiously getting ready to play some wagers this weekend, we'll have an insider join us and see what he can provide. You're looking like, man, I may have some ideas for this weekend.
I got some more bottles of Crown I got to win. You know what I'm saying? I got to collect on these, baby.
So that's interesting, right? Because you've become unofficially like the king of winning bets around here, but you're not doing anything monetarily. It's all
That's not fun, though. I don't like taking people's money. I don't like taking people's money. That's not fun. I like to make the bets a little bit more fun.
So you basically have now an entire liquor cabinet full of Crown based on just like 2 weeks of the NFL season and what, 3 or 4 weeks of college football?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got about 3 bottles new there and maybe 4. And I'll probably have another 2 because the Jets suck in like 4 weeks, 5 weeks. I'll get another 2 bottles of Crown.
Okay.
Hey, man.
How long will that last you?
Oh, not long. Not during football season. Not long. No. That's why I gained my weight during football.
Well, we're going to hear from Nick in about an hour from now.
I'm going to be pressing Nick for some new bets I got to get. I wonder who's that dark horse bet in the college football this weekend.
Yeah, I'm curious as well. So tomorrow, like college football – the NFL is interesting, and I can't wait to hear his thoughts because you've got both the Dolphins and the Jets who are 20-plus point underdogs, and that's like historic. I mean, we haven't seen that. I think the last time was 87 or 89, maybe it was. But even then, that was a strike season, so you had a bunch of replacement players playing. So you got to go back to the 70s for the last time we had that in the same weekend in the NFL. So that's one part. But college football, to me, that's where you always love an underdog story.
Yeah.
Like in the NFL, it's like week to week, anybody can beat anybody. You know that. In college football, there are plenty of teams that you just anticipate, hey, we know they have more talent. They should win that game. And the parity there, and when you find one of those upsets or a team that keeps it close that's a big-time underdog, that is always what emerges as one of the stories of the weekend, depending on what the matchups are.
We've already had some huge ones already in college football. Georgia State going to Tennessee. Mm-hmm. BYU going to Tennessee. Boise State going to Florida State. I mean, Kansas, for God's sake, went to Boston College and beat him at home.
Right.
I mean, there's going to be something this weekend. There's a couple games I'm curious to ask him about to see what he thinks about the spread, and maybe there's an outright, just straight-up upset.
We'll see. Michigan was taken to the wire, a couple weeks ago?
Army, yeah.
So, okay, last night in Thursday Night Football, for those who were watching, you were telling me, Brian, so – we didn't have TVs in here.
No.
I have a situation with my cable where I have AT&T UVerse, which does not provide NFL Network anymore because there's like a disagreement. So I was logging on to NFL.com and they would give you like a free 2-minute preview every once in a while. So I saw Gardner Minshew's second touchdown throw, which was beautiful. That was a beautiful pass. And then I was listening to some of it on these very airwaves and keeping track on my phone and stuff. But the final 20-7, the Jaguars shut down the Titans. Jacksonville snapped a 4-game losing streak versus Tennessee. The Jags defense totaled 9 sacks. Calais Campbell,
the U,
from the U, with 3 of them. Josh Allen, who we saw ball out against the Dolphins in a preseason game, had 2 sacks as well. Marcus Mariota has now been sacked 17 times through the first 3 weeks of the 2019 season. Ryan Tannehill, I think, knocking on that door to get some playing time, because between that and Mariota's fragile being and his injury history, I would imagine we're going to see Tannehill sooner rather than later. Somebody says that is the most a single It is most a single quarterback has been sacked through week 3 since 2002. 17 sacks.
And he's mobile.
So that's one side of the equation, the Titans. And then really the story to come from last night outside of the Jacksonville defense, which we kind of knew was good.
Yeah.
But nobody really knew what Gardner Minshew had to offer. And certainly he was efficient replacing Nick Foles when he played in week 1 in a loss. Last week he loses a close game to the Texans that, you know, not a lot of people are watching. It's in the 1 o'clock window, so you see the score, but maybe you're not paying attention to. Last night, national TV, we see Gardner Minshew go for 20 for 30, 204 yards, 2 touchdowns, a 108.2 passer rating. He's completing 74% of his passes so far through 3 games, the highest completion percentage in the first 3 games of someone's career since 1970. So he's been efficient. And everybody's now on this Minshew mania. What did you make of it? Because, listen, I don't know how long this is going to last. It's a really nice story. But, man, a 6th-round pick, 10th quarterback selected, and for him to be thrust into this situation, be playing well enough for them to get a win, it's a pretty impressive story so far.
Listen, man, Uncle Rico is out there throwing dimes. He's so cool, calm, collective. Nothing can, you know, mess with this dude's head. He's smooth coming off the plane. He's not so smooth stretching in the locker room, so from what you told me. But when he steps on that field, it's just another day in the office. This is the type of dude you want as your backup. This is the type of find. And isn't he the same exact pick that Tom Brady was?
He's a 6th-round pick.
But I think he is 199. I think he's 199 as well. I could be wrong, but I think so. I'm not saying he's the next Tom Brady, but these are the diamonds in the roughs that you want, because – all Jaguars fans said was, ah, our season's over, rookie quarterback, we're done. Then all of a sudden, the first game he came in, I believe he was 285 and very efficient, only missed like 4 or 5 passes.
Right. He was pick 178.
178,
according
okay.
to Wikipedia.
There you go.
So,
well, we don't know if Wikipedia is right or wrong, but you look at that division and say, is Deshaun Watson going to be healthy? Andrew Luck retired. That's a division that if he keeps going with this until Nick Foles comes back, that team could win a couple games and keep them close. And I honestly wasn't going to walk to the bar. I got home, and then all of a sudden I see Minshew with the first touchdown. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go. Let me see what this kid's got, because I have Comcast, and all of a sudden they want to take my NFL network as well. And I couldn't watch anything. So I walked over to the bar, and I'm excited to watch this kid moving forward. You know, I don't think – I would have said at the beginning of the year, like, oh, yeah, Gardner Minshew, Washington State, got a nice mustache, cool, keep it going. But you see him get off the plane with the 70s suit, chest hair out, buttons open. I was like, you know what? I'm going to watch this kid. Let me see what he's got. He did a good job last night.
He did, yeah. I mean, he's not – it's not like he's out there absolutely taking over the game.
No.
He's just doing what he needs to do.
Exactly.
And he's efficient, and he's accurate, and he's putting the ball where it needs to go. And, you know, Leonard Fournette had a rough night last night. He salvaged it with that long 60-70-yard run. But just in general, it's not like they had a great running game. So it was on Minshew's arm to get the job done, and now he's become – he was a cult hero at Washington State.
Yes.
He's quickly become that. His dad is in the stands.
Biceps
he's
for days.
Jacked.
Yep.
Yeah, and so – and he's interviewed on NFL Network after the game, too, with his son, and it's turned into this great story. I'm with you, though. You look at that division – like, Jalen Ramsey wants out, I get it, because he's upset about all this stuff, but I think the Jags have just as good a chance as any team in that division to win it.
Oh, yeah, because let's say Jalen Ramsey leaves that team. Yes, it does hurt, but you have an elite pass rush that can go ahead and offset that back end. You still have really one good corner on the other side. So if you get an adequate corner, you'll still be able to salvage this season, I believe. So, like, what is Nick Foles out for the next 6 games, 7 games? let's just say you can go ahead and keep it within two. Mm-hmm. Two games of the Texans, because I believe that's the team, if they can keep Deshaun Watson healthy. If you get him within two games and Nick Foles comes back, it's all fair game right now. So I just think you look at the kid's story, where he's at, what he's been able to put together on the field, I'm definitely going to follow the Jags now. And I never would have thought I would have said that. And I would have looked at it as that's the game that certain teams were circling, like, great, Nick Foles is out. We got a win right there. Not so fast.
Well, last night we were talking about it because we were discussing that Dolphins-Jets matchup.
Yep.
And the Jaguars are on the Jets schedule just before they play the Dolphins. I'm telling you, man, that's not a guaranteed win.
That's not a guaranteed win. They could be 0-7 when they come in here.
Right.
It could be the battle of zeros. Who's going to get the first win with the Dolphins?
Adam Gase going for his first win as the Jets head coach
against
the
Dolphins.
That would be the storylines write themselves there. But for Minshew, listen, I don't know if he can keep this up.
Yeah.
It's been a great three-game stretch considering expectations. Nobody thought he was going to play this year. Sixth-round pick. I think it was a great story just that he won the backup job as a sixth-round pick, but the 10th quarterback taken in the draft, Brian, this is one of the points that I keep bringing up, is that with the Dolphins absolutely tanking and giving away lots of their talent so they get as many draft picks as possible, that's awesome. They're going to get the quarterback that they want.
Yeah.
And they have not had any success trying to get quarterbacks at other parts of the draft. I get it. But Gardner Minshew goes to show you that it's an inexact science, and you just never know where you could find – your quarterback. And the thing that's bugged me is that even when they had, especially when they had Ryan Tannehill, they weren't even attempting to get other quarterbacks. And so I look at Gardner Minshew and the Jacksonville Jaguars. They identified a guy. Yeah, they didn't know for sure what he turned into, but in the sixth round, he comes in, he's a competent starting quarterback as a rookie.
Yeah. And I mean, listen, we know he's got talent because he went from ECU, bounced around. He had an offer from Nick Saban to go there and then eventually become a coach. And, you know, the old pirate out there, Washington State, says, nah, come on over to my system. You know, I'll make you successful. And what about Mike Leach? What has he got? Two starting quarterbacks now in the NFL and another backup out there just lingering?
Luke Falk.
I'm just saying, Washington State, if you're a 4- or 5-star guy, you might want to go out there.
We thought for a long time that Mike Leach is just a system guy.
Yeah.
And that, yeah, it doesn't matter who's in that system. They'll put up stats and all that. But, man, Gardner Minshew's got everybody turning some heads, that's for sure. Okay, the other part of this, which I already referenced, but I think is absolutely hilarious, and is that it just goes to show you it doesn't matter which town you're in. If you don't have a legitimate franchise quarterback, the backup is always the most popular guy. So last night, I was seeing screenshots that people took from Tennessee Titans Twitter.
Oh, man.
And even some national media members. And all of these people are saying, hey, Tannehill couldn't be any worse than Mariota. Put Tannehill in. Mariota's terrible. All this other stuff. I'm thinking, Ryan Tannehill, the guy that we all celebrated because the Dolphins got something in return when they traded him away, now he is the hero in Tennessee in terms of, in the fans' minds, they think he's going to come in and turn around the season.
That's how it always goes, man. The backup quarterback. It's the best job to have in the NFL if you never got to go in. If you could just go in and win two games a year, you're the man. You won't ever have to buy a drink ever again. I mean, look, I'll give you another example. Blake Bortles, booed out of Jacksonville. Now he's just chilling with the Rams. Never going to get in the game. He's never going to get in, but no one cares about him out there. He can walk around town, no big deal.
Right.
With Jacksonville,
he's making a lot of money.
He's going to get booed everywhere he goes. And I saw the same thing last time with Ryan Tannehill. I'm like, you don't want that. You don't want that. Don't go there because you're going to know what Dolphins fans felt like for the last 7 years. Same thing with Coach Gase. Oh, man, we got a talented offensive mind, the whole nine yards. I'm like, y'all ain't got nothing up there. Y'all going to feel the pain because, what was it, Jamison Crowder first game, 12 catches, mm-hmm. 14 catches, 99 yards, a la Jarvis Landry.
Yeah, it was basically Chad Henne.
That's it.
Throwing the football, right? Checking down.
Checking down. Dolphins fans know all about that for the last years. So it's real frustrating. And, yeah, Ryan Tannehill looked real good in preseason. Real good. You also looked really good in preseason as well? Charles Harris. How's that going?
Well, they had to sign Taco Charlton. That's
I'm just
going.
Saying. Yeah. I'm just saying.
All right, we got a lot more to get into, Brian. If you want to text us, we got a text rolling in here, 67974, Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. As mentioned, in about 40 minutes from now, we're going to talk some sports betting with Nick Costas, who is the Radio.com Sports Betting Insider. So stay tuned. Much more to get into. We'll read your text when we come back here on 790 The Ticket. Join 7-9 of the Tickets, Jonathan Zaslow, tomorrow at 8 p.m. for a Dos Equis College Football Watch Party at Cadillac Ranch in Kendall. Register to win a trip to the College Football Semifinal Playoff game at the Peach Bowl in Atlanta. Enjoy Dos Equis specials, and we'll be raffling off a 60-gallon Igloo cooler. That's at 8 p.m. tomorrow night for a Dos Equis College Football Watch Party at Cadillac Ranch with Zaz and the Ticket. Speaking of Zaz, he's not here today. Greg Likens, Brian Monroe in for Zaz and Amber as we continue on here. Jennifer with us as well. We'll take you up until 2 o'clock. Coming up at around 11:20 or so, we are going to talk some betting for you, sports betting, getting you ready for the weekend, as Nick Costas, Radio.com Sports Betting Insider, will join us coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. In the meantime, we're reading your text messages, 67974, 67974. Somebody texts in, Gardner Minshew looks like he can throw a pigskin a quarter mile.
There you go.
You brought up Uncle Rico.
That's the first thing I thought of.
With the stash?
Oh, my God. It's hilarious. Love it.
Here's the thing. When I don't know about you. When I see the guy with the stash like that, it's like, okay, like what point are you trying to prove? But then you hear him interviewed, and he's just a real cool, chill guy. Like, yeah, all shucks. Like, I'm just going on playing football.
I mean, have you seen some of the pictures that are, like, floating around when he was at Washington State with the belt and the short shorts? Like, that's the dude.
Do you realize, because I saw him interviewed last night on SportsCenter, he was on NFL Network, but then Scott Van Pelt had him on, and he said that, you know, with the Thursday night football game, he's going up to Pullman, Washington this weekend to see Washington State play, and his old team, his old coach, Mike Leach. I mean, that's going to be one heck of a weekend for
him. You want to talk about the difference 6 months make from being the starting quarterback there, now what kind of superstar you are in the national eye? Like, he's going to have police escort walking around there now.
Right.
When before he gets to be a former player walking through, oh, Gardner, what's up, man? We love you. Now it's going to be mob. I hope they document it. I hope they do, because I want to see him do some keg stands and some beer funnels going into the game and out with the people at the tailgating, because to me that he looks like that guy. He looks like that guy that when the quarterbacks were doing the beer chugging in the off season, that he would be like, screw this little beer thing. Give me the whole funnel. I'm going to clear this thing right now.
Right.
And just walk away.
Right. Or he just takes like a swig of a bottle of some hard, some whiskey or something.
That's me right there. That's I feel like I could grab a drink with him and have a good time.
Yeah. He seems like he's a good time. I mean, he was the big man on campus last year.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was a star there.
Oh,
But you're right. I mean, now this legend has grown.
See, here's the thing. He was a little star, right? In the national eye, he was a little star because, you know, nobody follows the Pac-12 on the East Coast. We don't really care about the Pac-12, what's going on over there. Like, oh, they got this nice quarterback. Where's he go? Oh, Mike Leach? Nah, he's a system guy.
Right.
Now that he came over here and actually has done some things, and then he's got this stash and he's got this swag about him, now he's a national star. So now when he goes back there, it's going to be crazy. It is going to be crazy for him.
So we get a bunch of texts during this time where I'm not sure if they're for us or for the Levitard Show, because people are so used to texting the Levitard Show on this text line.
Yeah.
But we got some funny ones here. Somebody says, when Gardner Minshew left for college, he told his dad, quote, you're the man of the house now, end quote. I don't know, man. I saw his dad for the first time last night.
Ooh, man.
That guy.
Well, that guy does not miss arm day, boy.
So, Steve, did you see the clip? Steve Smith and Maurice Jones-Drew were on the NFL Network set, Joe Thomas as well. But they turned around because Gardner Minshew's dad's standing behind him, and they put the microphone there, and they say, hey, what do you do? What's your workout routine? He goes, oh, man, I run a couple marathons. And they're, you run a couple marathons?
Yeah, right. Sure.
Right? Yeah,
sure.
All this stuff. And so, like, I mean, this family – again, I don't know if this is just some 3-week thing and then it's going to, like, the star is going to fade out and be like, oh, okay, wasn't that a fun little story? But if it continues, I mean, this family's just made for the attention.
Oh, my God, it's awesome.
It's like all this unintentional aspects of their lives that they just go about like it's normal business, and we all look at like, wait, this is what these people are really like?
Love it.
It's hilarious.
I love it. Give them their own reality show if everyone else has got one.
Somebody says, this was the quarterback that I kept texting into the station about that we should draft in the late rounds. Well,
you're right now, huh?
Dolphins missed that. They instead traded for Josh Rosen. Another one says, Minshew looks like an out-of-work porn star.
He does.
He does.
Dirk Diggler? Was that the guy's name?
Well,
with the one movie?
Yeah, and Boogie Nights.
Yeah.
Well, we were talking about this last night. There was, I don't remember, and I'm not going to give him free publicity, but there was some adult cam website that has offered him an endorsement deal because there's this story that has emerged that he likes to do his stretching in the locker room in just a jock strap before the game. So they offered him some deal. They said upwards of $1 million for him on their cam website to teach some sort of class, right? A mm-hmm. workout class. But the condition is that he either has to do it naked or just in the jock strap.
$1 million?
For $1 million. Listen. That's what they claim. Again, I don't think Bang Bros is actually going to pay $10 million for the naming rights to the Heat Arena, but this is just all a publicity stunt, I would imagine.
If he says no, whatever cam that is, find it out for me. Just give me 2 months to get back in shape, and I got this. I'll do it in a jockstrap for $1 million right now.
Well, and so that's the thing. Like, obviously, as a starting quarterback in the NFL now, he can't do something like that.
Of course not.
He also, I would imagine, I agree with you. I'd like to see him do a beer funnel or whatever this
weekend.
Oh,
heck yeah.
But he can't be caught doing that either,
of
right?
Of course he can.
Can he?
Why, if Baker Mayfield can do it, Aaron Rodgers can do
but
it.
They did it
doesn't make
off it
this
season,
this
right?
is his off weekend.
Okay.
By the way, all the Jaguars this weekend are going somewhere to party. Every single one of those guys. Okay, let me take that back. All the guys with money. How about that? The established dudes are going to go somewhere this weekend. It's your bye. It's quote-unquote your off weekend. So you're going to have dudes come down here. You're going to have guys go back to see their family, the ones that are married and stuff like that. But the single ones, are they going out this weekend? Oh, yeah. So if he wants to do a beer funnel, ain't no problem with that. You're going to have 3 days to go ahead and recover. He's good. He'll be fine.
This is their impromptu bye week, not the official bye week, but they're
literally everybody gets on a plane today. When you play a Thursday game, you normally meet up on Friday morning, watch the film. Coach goes, "See ya, I'll see you back here Tuesday,
right.
Monday night, whatever Tuesday, because that's when you're gonna have your next practice.
So you got 4 days
to do whatever you want.
Do whatever you want.
So the vets, they're getting on planes this afternoon, and they're gonna have a good time.
I have a story about that. Let's take a time out here. We're going to come back. And again, at 11 o'clock hour, we're talking sports betting with Nick Costas. But I have a story about that. Not about a Thursday night football over the weekend, but an actual bye weekend story. And to your point, that all the guys do something.
Oh, yeah.
Right? However, I got some mixed messages about that and then found out a surprise a few days later. I'll explain what I mean. It's about a former Miami Dolphins player. We'll talk about that next year on 790 The Ticket.